Yesterday, I have best shower in my life. I stop in a camping to refill the water, go down to the the toilet, see the shower. Best time of my life. You need so small things in your life to be happy.
Welcome to the Lost Dot Podcast and the 12th edition of the Transcontinental Race, supported by our race partners Albion, Apadura, Curve, POC, Supernova, Ride with GPS, and Peak Design. Day 2 at TCR number 12. Last night, the leading group of riders collected their first brevet stamp at Control Point 1 in Flam. In today's episode, we can expect some stories from the field, as most riders take on Parkour 1A and 1B on their way to CP1 themselves. We'll also focus on our new Flinter category, which is shaping up to be something special. First, an update on how things stand from race director David Eyre, who's with race reporter Jake Thorpe.
So, David, day 2, how's the race looking?
It's looking good. We spent the night last night in a very remote cabin in Hull, just off the end of Parkour 1B, and the riders at the front end of the race have already pushed well past there. So Robin Gemperla, as things stand, is currently heading for the Horten to Moss ferry across Oslo Fjord. That whole leading pack of riders with Max Agut, Christoph Strasser, Nicolas Châtelet, and a host of others already in hot pursuit and clearly trying to make sure that he doesn't get too much of a lead on them. We're spending the day up on Parkour 1B, so the Rallarvegen, which climbs up and out of Flom, and then across onto this huge plateau over 1,000 metres. So we're currently sat in a restaurant there, about to have our lunch, and awaiting the passage of a number of riders, which will go straight outside the front door of the restaurant that we're in, alongside the train tracks as well. So we currently have 9 of the Flinter riders out on that parkour at the moment. The breaking news today was that Jana Kessenheimer has pulled out of GC. That's blown open the Flinter leaderboard. Really, the Flinter category is now wide open. So it will be exciting to see how that pans out overall.
Over in Control Car 2, the team have taken up a classic location for finding and speaking to riders, the local supermarket. Here's race reporter Sophie Potter.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to day 2 of TCR number 12. Here in Control Car number 2, this morning we are staying in Beistollen, at the Spar, a supermarket where every riders are now stopping. So there is a crowd around us of like 10, 15 riders. Some are coming in, some are coming out. So it's really great for us to talk to them. We are around like 520 kilometers into the race and few kilometers after the Parkour A, and they have about 200 kilometers to do until the CP1, who close tomorrow at 11 a.m. So plenty of time for them to go there.
With almost everyone riding through the first night and long into day 1, a likely theme of the day is simple pleasures, a few hours sleep, and maybe, if they are really lucky, a nice warm shower. Any sort of luxury will have to wait until the race is over. Here's Hugo Manson, Cap 217, who last night, let me just check my notes, enjoyed a sauna and multi-course tasting menu.
I got into a town at about 7 o'clock last night.
Yeah.
And as I got there, the main restaurant that sold big portions of very calorific food was closing up, which meant that the only restaurant open was a fine dining establishment. And they could only seat me at 8, so I had a swim, a sauna, and an ice plunge before a nice 5-course tasting menu. So I don't think Robin is doing that in his 30 minutes of stop time or whatever it is, but I enjoyed it. So that's good.
I mean, you got the full Norwegian experience.
Yeah. You need some times like that in a race this long. Maybe not on the first day normally, but that was good. Yeah, it was very nice.
Okay, good. So good recovery. That's your new strategy.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think I've quite clawed back the full, 2 hours from that recovery, but it makes me feel better.
Amelia Linnett, Cap 320, is having a more conventional ultra experience.
How is it going? You seem to have a lot of energy.
Do I?
Yeah.
I thought I left it behind on the hills, but yeah, I mean, it's so beautiful here. I think that really, really helps. And I just got to do a bit of a downhill for what feels like the first time today. So maybe that's it.
When did your day started?
I started around 4:30 this morning, down in Vinsra in the valley. So it was just a uphill over the pass and then onto the parkour from there. And then, yeah, just hopefully continue on as far as I can.
Was it the first time you slept yesterday?
Yeah, I slept last night. Got actually quite a lot of sleep, so that was nice.
How was the shower?
Oh my God, it was so good. Yeah, shower and sleep both felt really amazing. Especially after that really cold first night. So yeah, it was good to be in a warm bed.
Food-wise, like what do you try to get?
Yeah, I've been eating a lot of the Giflar cinnamon rolls. I actually think maybe I've had too many of those, so I needed to switch it up a little bit. So it might be time to switch over to Haribo and like savory snacks. So got some olive bread for later. Just need a bit of a break.
Yeah.
Turns out there is such a thing as too many packaged cinnamon rolls.
Who knew?
Yeah, who knew? But maybe by Sweden I will have my taste for them back.
There is no one way to ride the TCR, and there is no one way to eat a pipe of Pringles, or kind of drink a pipe of Pringles, in the case of Floris Becker, Cap 344. He's also hoping for a shower and a moment to stop and take care of the essentials.
Do you usually drink Pringles out of the bag?
I'm from Holland. We've got a famous ultra cyclist who was a pro cyclist in the pro peloton, Lauwens ten Dam. He rode the Tour Divide. He became second. And I saw him doing it in one of his videos. So he's a big inspirator for the way I eat my Pringles. Yeah. and the way I ride my bike as well. Yeah.
So, yeah, that was what I was going to say. Speaking of riding your bike, how is it going so far?
It's going well, yeah. I'm feeling good. It's a bit up and down, but it's always a bit up and down. I slept outside for 2 nights. The first night for 2 hours, second night for 4 hours. So tonight, the goal for today is just to, well, first reach a checkpoint, and second, find a hotel, get a shower, take care of the bum.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you want to tell us about that? Or?
Gravel sections aren't very good for the bum. And sleeping outside, also not, because you don't have the proper hygiene. And
I mean, there is rivers everywhere.
Yeah. But it's also really cold at night in Norway, so I don't know. You have to choose your battles, I think.
Yeah, true.
As the days pass, riders will find they run into other riders much less frequently. These can be long, lonely kilometres, so it's good to know that there are people back at home tracking your progress. Susanna Bukutcher, Cap 158.
I like your nails, like you have smiley.
Oh, yes.
Smiley face. On
this
your nails.
One is smiling, but this one is when I don't want to speak with my friends, I just send them this.
A picture of a non-smiling face.
This one is better.
That's cool.
And this one, I need to cover this, you know.
Do you speak to your friends to get like some energy or when you are in a low?
Sometimes. I just send them voice notes, yeah.
But are they following? Is it the first time you're doing a race like that? Are they excited about you?
Yes, they are. Yes, it's really exciting. Like,
it is. I agree.
I've done race through Poland this year, but I scratched. And you know, this route is really clear. Like, you follow all those dots, and you know that they are moving south.
Yeah.
So it's really amazing.
Otherwise, it's something.
Yeah. Yeah, and. You know, some of my friends that know me from the past, like from the, I don't know, from school, they text me that I do amazing things and that they follow my social media and the race media to watch those photos. And
that's good. They get excited.
It's good, yeah. But I also lose energy with posting and, you know, replying. So you need to find balance.
Yeah.
And in the race as well.
At TCR, there's always talk of who's riding with what gear and how can kit choice provide some of those small but mighty gains. Out front, we have Robert Muller's squirrel-stopping aero cockpit designed for extra speed. Colin Halliwell, Cap 77, is sporting an innovation of his own, where the aim is not to conserve, but rather collect energy.
You have a particular item attached to your bike. To your bike, sorry.
Oh, yeah, it's a solar panel. I'm not very good with the Wahoo, so most of the bike trips I've done in the past, I've just used Google Maps, which is rubbish, but it, you know, when you're trying to find things and reroute and all that, so I'm finding that I use my phone a lot, so obviously experimenting with this thing, and I've had a couple of them, and this one works the best.
So it's a solar panel attached to your back, so you can charge your phone.
Yes, so it's charging right now. Yeah. If I do that,
if you turn into the sun, yeah. Because it's because you run out of battery quite easily. Yeah. Did you sleep inside? Like, did you had a chance to maybe use a plug yesterday?
I did, yeah, but I was just charging the Wahoo, so my phone was on like 30% when I started, so. 56 now, so.
So it's good, it's working, yeah?
It works, yeah.
Loaded up with snacks to last the long, sleepless hours of riding ahead, Sophie takes a moment to explain the benefits of taking a quick power nap.
What exactly is a power nap? It's a short planned nap, usually lasting between 10 to 20 minutes, that quickly reduces fatigue and improves alertness. It's usually taken on a bench, in a bus shelter, or by the side of the road. But how much can such a short sleep actually help? It all comes down to how our brains regulate sleep, basically. First, there is something called sleep pressure. Think of it like a battery running down the longer you're awake. So as the day goes on, a molecule called adenosine built on your brain. So the more adenosine you have, the sleepier you feel, basically. So when you feel asleep, even just for like 15 minutes, your brain starts clearing some of that adenosine away. So you won't feel fully rested, but you will often feel alert enough to keep going. The second piece here is how sleep itself is organized. We don't simply switch from being awake to being asleep. Sleep happens in stages. So first comes light sleep, and only later do you reach deep sleep. A typical sleep cycle lasts about 90 minutes, but during the first 15 minutes, you're still in the lighter stages. So if you sleep a little longer than that, your brains enter deep sleep and waking up becomes much harder. So if you've ever taken a nap and woken up feeling worse than before, you've experienced what's called sleep inertia. So basically, your brain is still partly asleep, making you feel groggy, slow, not good. And not good for ultra cyclists either. So that's why they are basically doing short naps. So you might be wondering if a 15 minutes power nap works so well, why don't riders just take 12 of them instead of sleeping for 3 hours? Well, first, there is a practical side. Every stop costs time. You have to find a safe place. You have to maybe get out a jacket. Basically, it's far less efficient than making one longer stop. But there is also a biological reason. The light sleep helps you feel more alert, but deep sleep is where your body repairs muscles and recovers physically. So you need that. Also, the more tired your brain is, the faster it will enter deep sleep stage. So power naps don't replace sleep. They simply delay the moment when your body can no longer keep going without proper rest, basically until you find a good hotel, a good BV spot. Remember, sleep always wins.
One rider enjoying a power nap on day two is Maris Gormanis, Cap 255.
How is it going?
It's going. Yeah.
You seem to have like a lot of energy this morning after 2 days of riding.
I had a nice sleep next to the lake. So yeah, it's all good.
Did you sleep outside?
Yeah, I did. I mean, it's pretty hard to get hotels around here, and the nature here is very good for that. You know, and some soft moss to sleep on, and Yeah.
And you can sleep everywhere. I think it's like...
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So it's legal and it's quite comfortable.
You might enjoy it.
Yeah, yeah. So I brought a down sleeping bag this year, which I didn't last year. And yeah, I was sleeping like a baby.
So yeah, so far you're happy with your choice of gear?
For now, yes, yes. Yeah, I mean, the down sleeping bag will be a bit of a dead weight out in the Balkans, but well, whatever.
Exactly.
Nora Batterman, Cat 146, took a very different approach to sleep on that first night of the race, in that she actually had some. She's been feeling the benefits of that early stop and quickly made up ground.
I'm kind of quite happy with the choice of the route. I'm happy with sleeping in the first night. Kind of couldn't be more fun.
I remember at registration you kind of apologized almost that you had to, that your plan was to stop at the first night.
Yeah, yeah. Everyone kind of just kept going and I was like, I'm sticking to my plan. I know that I'll feel better. I know I will not regret this. But in the moment, it was really hard.
To stop?
Yeah, yeah. I rode, I think, like 120 kilometers or so. And then I was like, okay, I'll never see you all again. Bye.
But I mean, if you look around you, there is like 10 other people in front of the spa. After Parkour 1A.
I've seen a lot of people again. I've seen a lot of people sleeping in ditches. Had a lot of grumpy people this morning because they were out in the cold and really not that recovered. And I've had two nights in a bed now and kind of really can't complain.
So stick to your own plan.
Exactly, yeah.
As more and more people are drawn to the TCR and ultras more generally, it's inevitable that the race pace quickens and the competition gets tougher. But this is a race for people of all ages and from all walks of life. Gabby Wink is one of the oldest riders at this year's race and busy getting on with being an inspiration to everyone back home.
You just told me that you're usually writing a blog at home in multiple language. What's the point, what's the goal behind you sharing your experience?
It's important for a woman that... when an old woman can do it, it's not so difficult.
You don't mind if I ask you your age?
63, just. But I began late, after the children, with 35 years. I began to do extreme sports. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with you. There is a need for representation, like of all kind of body age.
I am slowly, but my blog, the name for my blog is Lumaca Gabi, and Lumaca is snail in Italian.
Is what? Snail in Italian?
Snail in Italian, yeah. For this. And people ask me, why snail? You don't be so slow.
Yeah, I mean, you've gone like 500
The snails had the whole house on the back, and I have the whole house.
You've carrying your tent. That's true.
There are several pairs riding the TCR this year. Our leading pairs at the moment are all putting in an incredible shift. The two pairs out front are Pierre-Yves Fontaine and Adrien Mabillot, caps 411A and B, followed by Remy Majon and Marguerite Mulhouse, caps 414A and B. A little further back, Sophie speaks to Paul Jennings and Damien Ludlow, caps 416A and B, who have set themselves some pretty decent daily goals.
Look, you're enjoying yourself?
To be honest, we're having a really good time.
Yeah, of course.
Wait, this is the best thing in the world. Absolutely.
It wasn't yesterday.
No, but today is.
Yeah.
We're never going to come here again, are we? We're never going to do this again. We're two old men just living our dreams, aren't we?
We had three goals, didn't we?
Yes.
To finish in time. No, hang on. To finish in GC.
Yes.
To still be friends.
Yeah.
And to laugh like drains at least once a day. And we're on target for all three so far. Because we're winners. Wow. For two tubby mid-50-year-olds. We're all right, I think. We're still in bloody Norway! How can we still be in Norway when we've been cycling forever?
Yeah, I mean, you
maybe you can cycle a bit faster. I don't know.
Of course, if we are talking pairs, we mustn't forget caps 00 A and B. Andrew Phillips and John Endres, members of the Lost Dot team who are riding outside of GC. Andrew is a seasoned racer, whereas this is John's first TCR. Andrew thinks he might have spotted a key difference in their approach.
As we were speeding along, you were on my wheel, and we were doing sort of 33, 34 k an hour. I realised that maybe one of my whys is some kind of primal hunting instinct. The feeling that the chase is on, and it just feels amazing. You've got the road ahead of you, your quarry somewhere in the distance. It's kind of hard to describe, because I think it probably is quite primal. Feel any of that?
I won't lie to you. No, I don't.
And I feel it in you.
When we're pedaling along, I'm quite happy to just sit at an even pace. I can feel the little surges in the power when suddenly Andrew spots someone down the road. There's a desire to overtake. Now, I would quite happily sit 100 metres behind that person and just kind of watch them. They're like, well, that's nice. But I'm going my pace, and apparently that means that I'm not going to get anywhere near them. That's okay. Are you going to stay over there? Yeah, for balance, there is no desire whatsoever to show people there. Sorry to disappoint you, Dad.
Hannah Lobelessier is race coordinator and travelling with Sophie in control car 2. They've been looking out for a couple of bursary riders at TCR number 12.
We just saw bursary rider Maxim. He's at the Spa in Beitostollen. He was telling us how cold he was on the first night, but that he camped out last night on parkour 1A, just at the end of it, near the lake. And yeah, he's trying to save money by not staying in hotels, but it was a lovely place to camp. We saw some other people camped out there with tents last night, and we were thinking what a nice place to stay it would be. But he seems in good spirits, and he's going well. And our next bursary rider, Luca Bessems, is maybe only 5 minutes or so behind him, so we're expecting her to roll into town in a minute.
Sure enough, Luca, cap 214, shortly arrives and speaks to Sophie.
Are you happy?
Yes, very. Today I am. Yesterday was tough. But I got a bit in the ease of the race. I was having a lot of pressure on myself yesterday, so I'm happy to enjoy it today. The route is beautiful.
Well, why did you have pressure?
I don't know. Just like pre-race nerves, they didn't really go away after the start. Then I made some like interesting route choices, and yeah, just felt like keeping up with everyone. And now I'm just really enjoying it.
Perfect. How do you focus yourself again in your own race? How do you do it?
I really like the, like I bike to, I'm a bikepacker originally. So this is the first time I'm actually racing. So I'm just a bit more back into my bikepacking mindset. Just like I buy my food at the supermarket and I take it to a nice place and then I eat there, look around and yeah, stop a bit more often.
Perfect.
Yeah.
How is it going so far otherwise? Like the bike, the body, everything is fine?
I got a lot of upgrades on my bike. I'm a bursary rider, so I'm amazed by the dynamo and the light and the charging. It all works perfectly.
Yeah.
So that gives me the possibility to sleep outside, which I enjoy a lot. It's funny, yesterday I booked the Airbnb and I just slept for 2-3 hours. I woke up and I couldn't sleep anymore. So I was just like, well, then I have to continue. So I continued in the middle of the night. And then a few hours later, I slept at the playground and I had the best night of sleep, like very deep.
No matter how beautiful the landscapes may be, or how exciting the prospect of a moose sighting might get, there is always a chance of boredom setting in when you're in the saddle for such long hours. Sara Lundberg, cap 213, listens to music, but already has regrets over making just the one playlist.
I don't even remember choosing those songs. Like, I don't recognize them.
Well, you must recognize them by now.
I will get to know them very well.
Have you ridden in Norway before?
No. I've been to Norway. I've been hiking in Norway. And I've been where we passed in Jotunheimen. I was camping there at like a campsite.
Are you Swedish?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. So, but I love Norway. All these mountains. It's like, you know, Norway took all the mountains and we only got farmland in Sweden. So I envy them. But they also have worse roads. I mean, driving a car takes much longer here. So give and take.
Well, at least it's not too far away from home.
No, you know, that's what I felt when I was applying, actually. Yeah. You know, it's just a train ride. It's basically, you know, next door neighbor. Of course, it join like when it starts in Norway. Oh, this is a song. They're now they. Okay.
Ah, I thought it was someone calling.
No, it was my playlist started to miss me.
For all the planning, once the race gets underway and you're able to see other riders who've made different choices, it's easy for the panic to set in. David Lacey, Cat 115.
Are you looking at trackers a bit?
Yeah, I've been looking at where other people have been going and the different route choices and questioning my own route choices.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm sure other people are doing the same. There's no correct answer. Yeah.
And it's easy to doubt yourself because you don't know what people are actually getting on the other route. Huh?
Josh Ibbett said that on his podcast, then have faith in your own route because other people might have made mistakes as well. So I'm going to stick with what I've planned and see where it takes me.
And also it's a bit tiring for the brain if you start like replanning your route.
And I haven't got enough data to do that, so yeah.
So you don't have a choice anyway.
No, I don't. No, I'll stick with what I've got.
Perfect. Seems you know what you're doing. It's good.
Yeah, well, I failed 2 years ago. I'm not going to fail this year. I'm determined. So.
Let's head to the team in Control Car 1 and race reporter Jake. He's expecting the leading group of Flinter riders to pass through over the next couple of hours.
So, I'm standing outside the Hotel Finster just at the end of Parkour 1B. We, Race Team 1, are waiting here for riders to arrive, catching them as they treat themselves to a well-needed resupply at the cafe here. Sounds like resupply has been pretty tough across the board. People are arriving very depleted in some cases. I think it's been a bit of a theme of this Norwegian stretch that many riders didn't anticipate. Obviously, there's a spectrum of emotion here as riders arrive. Some arriving in great spirits, buoyed by the beauty of the parkour. Others are arriving a little more depleted. Been hearing that sleeping spots have been few and far between in Flom. It's the height of the summer season, so definitely some riders beginning to feel these opening days of the race accumulate. So they sound in definite need of a good night's sleep.
Joanna Kessenheimer was the fastest woman at the previous two editions of TCR and was out in front in the Flinter category this year. But not anymore. She's opted for an altogether different but equally beautiful race experience. No longer within GC, she's riding to Kalamata alongside her partner, Christian Holvek, Cap 14.
How are you doing?
Oh, good.
Yeah?
Bit of a change of plans.
Yeah, a bit of a change of plans. You feeling better for it?
Yeah, it feels right.
I'm glad. Yeah. So tell me, what's led to the decision?
I don't know. Like, I didn't think before how it would feel being in the same race, but I didn't also anticipate that we would meet so often. So yesterday, as I already told you, it felt a bit weird. I don't know.
Yeah, it's also like it puts another, let's say, more stress on it to respect still the rules. And then, I don't know, it's really, like yesterday was really weird. Like we had to like actively avoid it, like basically, I don't know, like every 20 minutes or something.
When I started, because I think I wouldn't have thought about signing up as a pair, for example, but because I really also wanted to race. But with that happening, I felt like, it could also be pretty cool to just ride together, which is apparently easy. So then I thought, okay, I was able to race 2 times pretty well, so maybe let's add something new to the experience.
Oh, well, it sounds like the right decision for you both. I'm just so pleased that it's, you're feeling positive and optimistic about the rest of the
Yeah, I'm pretty excited, like, how everything will turn out. And, yeah, just riding as we planned, but together.
With Jana dropping out of the race, there is a new leader in the Flinter category, with the entire top 10 within reach of the front. Jake is waiting for them all to arrive in Finse, starting with Camille Albissa, Cap 270.
So, Camille, you're now at the head of the Flinter race. How does that feel?
I mean, good, but I'm not going crazy about it. It's still a very long ride, so.
Absolutely, yeah. How have you found it so far? How was the parkour?
It's beautiful. I was actually a bit sad because I had to focus because it was gravel, right? Yeah. So actually, I couldn't enjoy it that much. I was like, oh, I wish I was on the road just to, you know, enjoy the landscape properly.
And then are you going to be looking at tracking and things like this, or are you just going to be riding your own race?
I didn't this morning. I might sometimes because I still like it, you know, and I think it's interesting to see how everyone is moving. But not that much, to be honest. So I don't want to deviate too much from my plan, you know. So
nice.
I'm actually sad I cannot follow. I have so many friends in front, like the French boys. They are quite strong, right? And I'm just so sad that I don't have the time to follow everything. But we'll catch up later.
Exactly. It's all going to be there for you. Podcasts, race reports. You'll be able to read it all afterwards.
Also arriving at Finsa, Hannah Hike, Cap 314.
You've rode an incredible race so far, you know.
Yeah.
I saw you, you know,
yeah, well,
pushing through the night, holding second position.
I didn't know that.
Night and day.
I didn't know that I was second place.
Really? Have you not been checking tracking at all?
No.
And of course, today, big news, with Flinterfield opening up massively with Jana dropping out of the general classification.
Ah, well, she's such an amazing rider, so she's really, like, I saw her this morning and was like, okay, she's quite far away, so,
wow. Yeah. I also saw your amazing jersey design. It's really cool.
Thank you.
And the t-shirt. So I mean, you're a maker, right? You're a pottery maker.
Yeah, originally I'm a designer, and yeah, over several episodes, I'm now having a ceramics studio. But yeah, love design still, and yeah, try to put it in there where I can.
Yeah.
To enjoy.
That's amazing. I mean, how have the aesthetics of the race so far been treating you? Have you enjoyed the views?
Like, I love to do the pictures. The scenery is so beautiful. Like, yeah, it's painful sometimes, but the scenery is really making up for it.
Anna Kolkvist, Cap 223, is another rider pushing hard in the Flinter category. She's focused on the challenge of resupply, rather than getting too hung up about race positions just yet.
I'm good. This is beautiful.
Yeah.
It's been such a gorgeous day.
Brilliant. I'm so glad. How was the parkour?
It was tougher than I thought with the climbing. Yeah. I enjoyed it, but I haven't eaten enough, so I was a bit grumpy. But it was really, really beautiful.
Yeah.
It's just insane.
How have you found the refueling and the resupply on this this Norwegian stretch?
It's pretty okay, actually. I'm just stubborn. I don't eat. I just get so bored of eating that there is so much stuff and I just don't have any of it. But with a bit of planning, it kind of works. Like, I've used some of the 24/7 shops, which is super, super helpful. I timed my resupply this morning perfectly. Like, I arrived at 2 minutes past six for something that opened at six. So
that is what
perfect.
We like to see.
Yeah.
Bit of luck in the game. So, I mean, the Flinter field has just blown open today with Jana stepping out of GC. Does that change anything for you in your race, or are you just going to carry on as you were?
I think it's a bit too early for that to change anything. There's not really, really much point in sort of looking at positions and stuff now, but it's really fun to have so many, many women kind of riding, not together, but like you bump into each other all the time.
It's as shoulder to shoulder as you can get in a self-supported race.
It really, really is. We're just like leapfrogging constantly, which is really fun.
Is it a good vibe between you?
Yeah, there is, I think. Yeah.
Elaine Fromenty, Cap 134, was fastest woman at last year's Trans-Pyrenees race. She's not letting the big change at the top of the Flinter category change her approach to the TCR.
The Flinter field is looking very, very close.
I think so, yeah.
It is anyone's game at the moment.
Yeah. I mean, I've heard that that Jana switched to the pairs. They were telling this at the checkpoint. And I think I met yesterday four or five other girls, other Flinter. And so it's like completely packed, crazy, but that's cool. I mean, maybe it's even more interesting than the men now.
I think undoubtedly.
Yeah, of course. I mean, there is such a long way to go, a bit more than 10% just, and so anything can happen. And I guess, of course, nobody was expecting also that Jana would not race until the finish, at least in the solo category. So what a surprise. I hope she's happy with her decision. And that she has fun with Christian on the rest of the course. in the first place, I'm not really here for racing. I really just to have a good time and to perform for myself. But of course, the fact that she was super favorite, I was like, oh, come on. Maybe we can try to do a top five, top 10. But now it changed a bit. I mean, I will try to stay focused on having fun. But yeah, now it's a bit different. But yeah, let's ride on. There is so much to go still. Thank you. Bye bye.
Nicole van Battenberg arrives in Finse, pleased to be enjoying a better day after some challenges on day one.
How was the parkour?
I loved it. Yeah. It was so beautiful. Yesterday I had such a shitty day, and today everything is going perfect.
Everything's
so
working.
So far. You never know.
What's changed?
I don't know. Like yesterday, there were just already after. Oh, my alarm.
Time to wake up.
No, still book an hotel. Well, so yesterday, already in like 2 hours, I lost one of my earrings and I got new ones on the way to Trondheim for the race, like golden ones, fake, of course, fake. But I was like, okay, these are going to be my racing earrings. And then I lost one of them. So that was a bit sad and it was super cold and my knee started to hurt, all these kind of things. But yeah, it was just yesterday. But I had
today the route was better.
I loved it. It was perfect because
it was on the parkour.
It was on the parkour. Maybe safer for me.
With our leading Flinter riders pushing on towards CP1, Jake has also caught up with Arthur Jan, Cap 311, who's riding like a salmon and would like to cuddle some sheep, which also remind him of penguins. Reminder, it's just day two at TCR number 12. And all is well.
Kind of scared of the gravel, but it went fine.
Yeah.
I was really feeling like almost like a salmon going up the
up the river.
Up the river. Yeah, yeah. Except I suppose salmon do this to mate, but nothing special happened to me on the parkour. So yeah, kind of disappointed by that.
You've still got time.
Yeah, a few parkours left.
Let's hope for you, Arthur.
Thanks.
So how was the night?
Was good. A bit cold. I went to bed early because there were basically no hotels left. Rookie mistake, I didn't book anything. I got really cold. This time I felt... I was, you know, the sheep, they kind of roam free and they were like laying on the side of the road. And I don't know, I was so cold and probably a bit tired. And I was looking at the sheep and I don't know, I was like, I could fancy a cuddle or something. Like, because, you know, they regroup to get warm, a bit like penguins. And then I remembered I was a bald cyclist, so no hair. And I don't think the sheep would have agreed with this.
I'm just glad there were no sheep on this last parkour, if, given the salmon's intentions.
Yeah, I'll let you know which animal I feel I am next time.
Tobias Johansson, Cap 382, is less concerned about animals and far more interested in making sure he keeps hold of his kit.
I had a little weird misfortune 7-8 kilometers back. The road was quite bad. There was this kind of ditch from the water, from the melted snow. It's going over the road. And I was going a little bit downhill and I was going quite fast. I was bunny jumping over the ditches. And then I heard something fell off. So I thought, oh, damn, I lost a bottle again, I thought. So I turn around and look. And there, both the bottles and the cages and the saddle is laying there.
And the saddle?
And I thought, what the heck? Well, I guess the weight got too much for the saddle when I was bunny jumping, so it bent.
So, David, where are we heading next?
We'll be tracking the riders down to that Horten Moss ferry across Oslofjord. So everyone loves a ferry on the TCR, big or small. This one runs every 30 minutes or so. And so we'll be getting our car onto there later this evening. And then we'll be pressing on a little bit further into Norway, knowing that riders are all looking to get that ferry across the Baltic tomorrow afternoon or evening. And we'll be joining them. So yeah, we need to get an early night tonight after a couple of very late ones, lit by the bright midnight sun over the past couple of days. So going to rest up today and make sure that we all make that passage tomorrow. So yeah, exciting times ahead.
Before Jake and Control Car 1 head off to catch that rest, let's hear from one more rider, Peter Geldof, Cap 341.
It's a very long race. I learned last year the hard way that doesn't work for me, a lot of sleep deprivation. So I invested in it and I had actually 7 hours of sleep. And today it was, I have to say, I even got emotional, I think, at a certain moment. It was so beautiful. And actually we had 60 kilometers of, how would I say it, postcard gravel scenery. It was actually one of the most things I've ever done in my life, really. And I really was very happy. At a certain moment I was even emotional. I said, like, this is so beautiful, yeah. And you know, so yeah, I'm very happy. So I slept well, and yeah,
life is good.
Yeah, life is just good. Life, I slept well. I have my bike. I just had some food. What else can you want?
Time for the recap of the day. This morning in Control Car number 2, we were back at the Spar in Beitostølen, right after Baku 1A, exactly where we were actually last night. And I have to say, the atmosphere was completely different. Everyone looked much more refreshed. It was the start of a new day for them. And most riders had managed to get at least 4 hours of sleep. So really, what more could you ask for? Today I met Gabby Wink, Cap 388, a 63 years old rider who started a blog called Lumaca.Gabby years ago to encourage people to get out on their bikes and go on adventure, even if they think they are too old or not young enough. So today I would like to talk about the age of our riders, because in our society there is a huge underrepresentation of people over 50 and 60, and also lack of age-related information that is often even stronger for women. But what I see out there is that all generations are represented, and it's a great reminder that the CCR really is a race for everyone. This year, the youngest rider is 20 years old, and the less young rider is 70 years old. 14% of the riders are under 30, 20 of the riders are in their 50s, and 8% in their 60s, which leaves us 58% of the riders between 30 and 50. One rider reminded me today that TCR isn't just about your legs. It's about planning your route, making good decisions, staying mentally strong, taking care of yourself when things don't go to plan. Those are all the things that often come with experience and therefore time. Gossip Girl moment. Jingle, please.
Gossip Girl is real?
Spotted on the internet today, plenty of big smiles on proud faces, posting with brevet card stamp at CP1. Nice work, everyone. To my greatest delight, I heard the first ABBA song of the race as riders started rolling into Sweden. It felt like an official milestone. So thank you very much for that. Not everyone was quite as cheerful, though. Alain Rodriguez, Cap 157, Instagram story, all seems to feature the same caption. Not once, not twice, not three times, but over and over. Putain de vent de merde. Official Gossip Girl reporter, I should probably clean up the language. So I'm going to adjust a bit the translation, but let's say he wasn't particularly enjoying the brutal wind blowing in his head. I don't think it's time for the return of the TCR Bravery badge just yet, but we definitely need a new one today, the Catastrophe badge, for the riders whose only response is, well, shit happens. Today, Catastrophe badge goes to Christoph Berscheiner, Cap 11. It seems he looked inside his frame bag with just a little too much enthusiasm and managed to explode an entire bag of car powder, whether it was an accident or an experimental attempt to charge his power banks with carbohydrate dust. His stories don't say. Naturally, he celebrated the incident with a swim in a Norwegian fjord. Not even the race to catch a ferry could stop him from taking a dip. To be fair, after a busy night in the public toilets, it might just be the most effective hygiene strategy we've seen so far. Tonight, there is already 194 riders who pass CP1 with a good advance, and CP1 closes tomorrow at 11 a.m. So many riders will arrive on time this night and tomorrow morning. So to all the riders battling through the night to make it to CP1 before the cutoff, if you need a little extra motivation, just imagine you are part of the Norwegian fans' famous Viking row from the 2020 Sing World Cup. Row, pedal, row, pedal. That's it for tonight. Tomorrow in control car number 2, we will head to CP1 in the morning before moving towards Sweden, so we can finally listen to some ABBA in the control car, as if we hadn't already. Stay safe out there. Good night and good ride, everyone.
Join us for our next episode when the TCR ferry game really begins. With Robin Gemperla leading the charge through southern Sweden, will he be able to make his desired Baltic crossing and extend his lead even further? Bikes, boats, and sprints to the coast. What's not to love? You can read Jake's daily race reports from the road on the Lost.org website and get regular updates across all our social media channels. Thanks to our race partners, Albion, Apajora, Curve, POC, Supernova, Ride with GPS, and Peak Design.